Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Bible Hub or eSword, I want to raise advance. How many of you have taken some time and you've looked at those programs? Raise your hands high. A few of you, okay? You are lucky. Because as we go through today, we're going to actually be on the computer and show you how to use some of the software. It'll make a lot more sense. It'll be a lot easier for you. And so thank you for doing that. Now, you are prepared, okay? You prepared yourself. You'll probably get more out of it. That's what our topic is today, as preparation. How many of you know if you want to do well at something, you need to prepare well, right? If you're baking, you need to make sure you have the right ingredients before you start baking, right? Oh no, I don't have any eggs or I don't have any milk or whatever it is. You need to make sure you have the right measuring spoons. That when it says, you know, half of a teaspoon, you don't use half of a tablespoon of salt. You know, you want to be prepared, you know, and have the right equipment. If you're in athletics, you prepare yourself by knowing the playbook. You prepare yourself by studying your opponent, their strengths, their weaknesses, their tendencies. I remember when my son was playing high school football, they spent hours each week watching film of the opponent they were preparing. They prepared mentally, they prepared physically, they practiced, they lifted weights, they ran drills, they ran plays, there was preparation. We use preparation in so many things. If you're painting a house, you need to have it washed and scraped. It needs to be prepared so that you can have the paint stick really well. If you're going to go driving, you need your keys. That's an important thing. You need your license. And you need to make sure that there's gas in the fuel tank. You need preparation for that. You're going grocery shopping. You need to have your shopping list and your checkbook or your credit card. Almost everything in life takes preparation. You prepared this morning. How many of you looked at a mirror before you walked out the door? There's some of you, I don't know if you did or not. But you prepared yourself. You wanted to make sure, you know, that, you know, everything was in place, that everything was tucked in, that everything looked good, that you looked fine. Preparation is key to success in life. And the same goes in Bible study. If you want to really get something out of God's Word, you need to prepare yourself. But you know how many of us approach our preparation for our Bible study? It's kind of the same way that we approach watching television. We pick up the remote, and we click on it, and we just start flipping through stations, hoping to find something good. And a lot of times, that's how we approach Bible study. Now, that might work for TV after about 10 minutes of channel surfing the 300, you know, channels on your satellite or whatever you have. But for Bible study, it takes a little bit more preparation. Just sitting down with your Bible and hoping to find something probably won't yield a whole lot of results. And so this morning, we want to help you prepare. There's two types of preparation. If you'd open up your bulletin this morning, take out your sermon notes. And we're going to talk about the two types of preparation. If you're taking notes today, the first type is physical preparation. We're going to spend the bulk of our time on this first type of preparation, because there's a lot of practical stuff that we're going to teach you how to use the different resources. But the first thing to do, if you're going to prepare letter A in your notes, is we need to schedule our Bible study time, okay? We need to schedule our Bible study time. You need to block it out on a calendar. How do you go on dates with your spouse? If you don't, you need to. How do you block out time? You look ahead on the calendar and you schedule time to go on dates. Raise your hand. You have to block it out. I found if we don't block it out, it doesn't happen. How many have to block out time for exercise? Yeah. How many of you do block out time? You should, but you don't, you know. A whole lot more hands go up. Yeah, and if you want to do something important, you have to block out time. And I have found that you need to block out and plan for your time. When are you going to study the Bible? For some, it's maybe early in the morning. For some, it's late at night. You know, by looking at you this morning, I can tell some of you are not morning people, okay? You've got toothpicks in your eyes. How many of you are morning people? All right, good number. How many are night people? You stay up with the owls and the bats and those guys. All right. You know, study the Bible when it's the best time for you. Usually not after a big meal, okay? Because then the blood's digesting and it's not up in your head and you get sleepy and tired. So pick a good time. Here's the thing. There is a difference, and this is in your notes. There's a difference between a quiet time with God and studying God's Word. A quiet time, and this is in your notes, quiet time is daily fellowship with the Father. And everyone has a different time. Some maybe just take 10 minutes. Some take a half hour, maybe 45 minutes, an hour. But this is your daily quiet time with God, and the purpose is to read your Bible, not study it, to pray about what you've read, pray about your prayer list, to love God, to praise God, to receive power and inspiration for the day, to present your needs to God. And it's better to have a little bit of quiet time every day than have one big time, one big chunk somewhere in the week. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, "Give us this day our monthly bread." Is that right? Okay, weekly bread? No, what did he say? Daily bread. You see, Jesus wants to go to the Father daily, not monthly, not weekly. If you get weekly bread, you don't have to go to him for a week. But Jesus said, I want you to spend time with the Father, spend time with him every day. That's your quiet time. That's not your Bible study time. Bible study time in your notes is extended time to go deeper into the Word. This is where you're going to get out your tools, which we'll share with you later on. A time to ask questions, to get into the flow so you don't have to cut it off in 15, 20 minutes. Because here's the thing, as you get into the Word, you're going to find yourself, you're just going to start studying and get going. And if it's part of your quiet time, 15, 20 minutes probably won't be enough. And you'll kind of come away frustrated. You feel like you didn't get that much out of it. So a good time to study the Bible is try to shoot for about an hour, a minimum of an hour for Bible study. Now, if you're a young child, that might be too long. And here's the thing. I know we've got some 10-year-olds in here. I've heard about some 10-year-olds. They're taking notes. They're excited to learn how to study the Bible. And so an hour might be too much for them. But some of you say, I can't afford an hour. I don't have that kind of time. Well, let me ask you this. Do you know how much TV the average American watches between the time they're born and the time they're 65? If not, look at the screen. 9.5 years. That's the average amount of time an American watches television. Almost a decade. But if you take just 1 hour and you study the Bible from the day zero, you study it for 1 hour a week from day zero to age 65, you've only spent 4.5 months in the Bible. Now let me ask you, 9.5 years of television to 4.5 months of the Bible, what's influencing your life? What's guiding your morals and your decisions? Where are you getting your values from? And you say, I don't have time to give an hour. If you don't give an hour from 0 to 65, that's even less than 4.5 months of Bible study. If we want God's Word to take a hold in our life, then we need to be serious about it. How many of you think in 70 years you could find 4.5 months to give to God? Does that seem like a lot? Not really. So I encourage you, try to find an hour somewhere in the week where you say, God, I want to go deeper with you in the Word. That might be Sunday afternoon, maybe before your nap, okay? That might be at night. It might be on a Saturday. But when are you the best? That's when you should study the Bible. That's when you should study the Bible. It's kind of like prayer. If you don't make time for your quiet time for prayer with God, you won't do it. I found I have to carve out time for my quiet time, and that's the same with Bible study. If you don't find time for it, you won't do it. Okay, take a look at your notes here. Letter B. Let's look at the next aspect. Besides scheduling time, you need to keep a notebook for your notes. We save things that we value. If we don't save it, if we just chuck it, we don't value it. And so do we value what God teaches us on Sundays? Do you value what God teaches you in your devotions and in your Bible study times? I encourage you to keep a notebook of the things that God speaks to you and then go back and look at them. Rick Warren tells a story about a time he was reading the Bible and it came to the part, it says, don't throw your pearls before swine. And God spoke to him and said, Rick, you're throwing your pearls to the pigs. And Rick says, I am not. And this is what the Lord spoke to him. This is very early on in his life. God said, Rick, every Sunday I speak to you. I give you pearls through the word of God of your pastor. I give you pearls in your devotional life, and you just throw them away because you don't record them and keep them. And I can tell you, there have been times in my life when I went back and I've looked at my notes, I've looked at what God has shared with me, and it's been a source of great encouragement. So start to take notes. Matter of fact, maybe some of you, you'd say, I want a three-hole punch, the notes I get every week in church, and get a binder and start sticking them in there. Or you're going to keep them in a file and just go through and let the Holy Spirit guide you. But when you keep a notebook, that helps you keep the pearls that God gives you, all right? Okay, let's take a look at the third aspect of physical preparation. Are you with me this morning? And this is get the right tools. How many of you dads want some tools for Father's Day this year? I see a few hands up. How many dads like to have the right tools, huh? You know, to me, don't give me a tape measure in metric, okay? Give me it in good old King's English. I mean, you know, and you want the right tools, the right saws, the right screwdrivers. I mean, you ever tried to unscrew a Phillips head with a regular one or vice versa? It just doesn't work too well. You want the right tools. And so we're going to share with you, we're going to spend quite a bit of time this morning showing you the tools that you need to study God's Word, okay? The first thing is a study Bible. The first thing you want is a study Bible. Now, study Bibles, and we've kind of have this laid out in your notes, they have cross-references, definitions of words, biblical backgrounds, and the author's comments. Now, realize the comments you read in a study Bible are just the author's opinions, okay? They are not necessarily truth. So you have to read that. Just because it's in your study Bible doesn't mean it's true, all right? So you want a good study Bible, and I use the word cross-references. How many of you know what a cross-reference is? Some of you do. For those that don't, I want you to look to the screen, and cross-references are basically different portions in the Bible that show you alternative references. Now, this is the story from Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 to 21. It's Jesus feeds the 5,000, okay? Underneath, you notice it says Mark 6, 32 to 44, Luke 9, 10 through 17, and John chapter 6, 1 to 13. It says PP, that stands for parallel passage. It means that if you look those verses up, you can read this same story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish in those other places in the Bible. And that's important to read those references because sometimes they develop new nuggets. But did you realize that John 6, that's where we learn it was a boy's lunch. A little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish. You don't read that in the other 3 accounts. You also find out Andrew, when Jesus said, how much food do you have? And they said, we got to find out. Andrew goes out and he finds the little boy. It was Andrew. And you know what's interesting about Andrew? Andrew is always bringing people to Jesus. Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. He brought this little boy to Jesus. That was just Andrew's style. He was very relational. And so you get these little nuances as you read the parallel passages. So that's something important to do. And you find that a lot in the Gospels, the parallel passages. Let's take a look at the next reference here. And this is from 1 Timothy chapter 1. And in verse 5, and notice it says, the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart, and there's a letter M. And then it says, a good conscience, and it has the letter N, and a sincere faith, and then it has the letter O. Now, those are cross-references, and if you look to the side column, this is chapter 1, verse 5, the letter M, it has 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. So it talks about a pure heart also in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. And the letter N, which talks about a good conscience, the letter N there, is in Acts 21, 3 and 1 Timothy 4, 2. And then the letter O, a sincere faith, is in Galatians 5, chapter 6, and then it's also in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. So you can, as you're reading a Bible passage and you see those letters, or sometimes there are numbers in there, you can go to other verses and you use Scripture to interpret Scripture. Use Scripture to develop the thought and learn more about it. Sometimes you will see, instead of these in the side column, they have it right at the end of the verse. Sometimes it's way at the bottom of your Bible page. Look in your Bible. How many of you have a hard copy of a Bible and you can see cross references somewhere in your Bible right now? Raise your hand. Okay, some of you do. And so when you get a study Bible, you want it to have cross references, because I know for me, I have really learned a lot by looking at the cross references. Okay. When you look in a study Bible, sometimes study Bibles only have one person's comments, all right? Ryrie's Bible, it's not Pentecostal, or Harper's Bible, that's one person's comments. Sometimes it's good to get a Bible that has more than one person's thoughts, and we have them listed in your notes, the NIV Study Bible, Thompson Chain Reference, the New Spirit-Filled Life Study Bible, and the Life Application Bible. Those are some good ones to get. You say, which version is the best? You probably don't want to get the Message or the New Living Translation or the Living Bible in your study Bible, okay? I would recommend the New American Standard because it's the most accurate, but it does have the these and the thous in it. The New King James, because it's very accurate, but it kind of follows the King James. And then you have the NIV, which you can get, but realize it does omit certain parts in there because it's based on the oldest manuscript instead of thousands of manuscripts that they found after that. And we give some examples there in Scripture. Matthew 17, verse 21 in the NIV isn't there. A lot of times in your footnotes, it might say, this is the verse and it was there. Also, the last part of Mark chapter 16 isn't in the NIV. So that's just something to be aware of. When you read the NIV, there are certain omissions. Okay. When you get a Bible, if you're getting a hard copy, I recommend genuine leather over bonded leather. You can see how this one's really falling apart, can't you? See how it's worn on the edges? And then you have this one, which is in really good shape. This one, I had only about 3 years, and I read it through twice. It was the New American Standard, and it fell apart. I've had this one for 27 years. I got it in college. It was my preaching Bible. I've read it through 4 times. I used it every week studying for sermons, and I preached out of it, and it's in way better condition. So I would say either get genuine leather or a hard copy. Don't get bonded leather. They don't last. That's just a practical tip that I give you today. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to another type of another tool, but before we do, I just want to talk about the Apocrypha and other books that are in the Bible. How many of you have ever read a Catholic Bible or read some different Bibles, and there's books in it that you've never seen in your own Bible before? Anyone do that? Some of you have. And you might say, well, how come these books are in there and they're not in our Bible? Well, I don't have time to go into that, but we give you a resource. It's a great, highly theological resource from the creator of VeggieTales. It's called What's in the Bible with Buck Denver, okay? And in the first video, they talk about why are the books in the Bible there? Why do we not include the Apocrypha and other missing books? Because Phil Vischer, the creator of VeggieTales, hated it that some kids grew up in a church, never even knew that there were these additional books. They go to college and they would say, your Bible's incomplete, and it just created doubt. So he explains well enough for your children to understand, so I think you can get it, why those books aren't in the Bible and why the books that are there, why they were chosen, why they were picked. We're not going to take the time to go into it, but it's a great resource. You can get it for your kids, get it for your grandkids, and go ahead and utilize that, and we give you that resource right there. Okay, the second aspect we want to look at today is you want to get several translations. Now, here's the thing. With all the Bible software that's out there, you can get these for free. I remember when I was in Bible college, if I wanted the NIV and the Living Bible and all these other Bibles, I'd have to spend, you know, 10 bucks, 15, 20, 30 bucks to get all of these different versions. And it was quite costly. If you go to BibleGateway.com and if you go to BibleGateway.com, you can get all of these translations absolutely free, and that's a great source for it. You can also get some translations at BibleHub.com. Now, for this part of the message, I'm going to be at the computer because I want to show you on the computer how to find these things. So let's take a look at the third thing there. The third tool you want is an exhaustive concordance. An exhaustive concordance that matches your translation. And a concordance, some of you don't know what it is a book that has every single word that's in the Bible. This is called the Strong's Concordance. You know why it's called Strong's? Because you have to be strong to pick it up. Not really. It was put together by a man named James Strong. He could have been James Smart because he was really smart. It took him 60 years, but what he has done is he basically listed like every example of the word love, it's listed the verse. And so you can find every mention of the word love in the Bible. And that's what a concordance does. So it's great if you want to research love or hope or joy. You want to look up a person in the Bible. You want to study a person, maybe like a certain prophet or a certain king, King David. You want to study Moses. You can find every example, old and new, of that person, place, or thing in the Bible. And that's what a concordance is good for. Well, besides Strong's, we list some other ones there. But really, the Bible software programs, Bible Hub and eSword, have free concordances in them that you can use them. And just want to take you this morning, and we're going to take a look at eSword. And actually, I'm first going to take you to Strong's. And pull this up. I had this all set, and all of a sudden my picture viewer started cycling through, and it lost my picture. This is an example of Strong's Concordance right here. It's a little grainy. It's hard to see. And I guess we're having some issues. It's not showing up on the screen. I hate it when you have things set up and technology goes backwards on you. How many like that? Give it a shot now. I think we've got it. There. It stopped duplicating my screen. Okay, the word preparation, here in the middle, up at the top, and it says 1 Chronicles 22, verse 5, and then it says, "We'll therefore now make P, preparation for it." And then there's Nahum, chapter 2, verse 3. Then you've got Matthew 27, verse 62. It gives you the phrase, and you can see how the word preparation is used. Something that's good about a concordance, and this is from the Strong's, and I'm showing this for those of you that are not into computers, that you will know how to use a physical concordance if you're not into computers, but there are reference numbers on the right side. And you see it's 3559, 3559. Now the next one's 3904, and it's italicized. The reason there's different numbers here is because these first two are in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is written mostly in Hebrew. And so there is a Hebrew dictionary at the back of my Strong's, and it says Heb Dictionary, okay? And so I would look up that number, 3559 in Strong's, and it gives me the definition of that word. Then the italicized tabs, those are in the New Testament. And the New Testament was written in Greek, so they give you a Greek dictionary. So you'd look up the italicized number in the Greek dictionary, and that's how you would use a Strong's Concordance. Now here, just want to show you something. Look down below at the word prepare. And in Exodus 15:2, the number it has is 4633. In Exodus 16:5, it's 3559. And in Numbers 15:5, it's 6213. You've got three different numbers. What has happened is that there are three different Hebrew words that are in the text here, and it was translated with one English word, prepare. So if you want to get the nuance of what it means, you would want to look up that specific number. You have to realize that there are over 14,000 Hebrew and Greek words in the Bible, and when it was translated, it only used, it was either 6,000 or 8,000 words. It's somewhere in your notes later on under word studies, but it only used 6,000 to 8,000. It was 8,000 English words. So if you're going from 14,000 down to 8,000, how many of you know you're going to lose something? You're going to lose it. That's why studying these words in the Greek and the Hebrew are important. They can teach you some extra things. Now let's take a look at Esord, and that would be the diagram that was handed out to you. Basically, in Esord, you type your verse that you want to see in this box up top, or you can, in this column, it has the books of the Bible and a chapter, and you can just pick one, like John chapter 3, verse 3, all right? Now, this top window right here, if you look, it says Bibles. On the handout, I don't think it says it. They updated it, and it says Bibles. Now, these are different versions of the Bible. This section here is commentaries, and it lists all these different commentaries. You can click on different commentaries and read them. And then this box down in the middle and the bottom is dictionaries. That's a basic understanding. Let's take a look. We want to look at the New King James Version. And by the way, on Esord, you can some versions are free, but some you have to purchase. I purchased the New King James for about $10. And so on New King James, I want to use a concordance. So you can see there's binoculars here, or there's also a pair up here. Click on the binoculars and a box comes up. And let's say we want to study name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, okay? So we type in name of the Lord in the box, and you click search. And it comes up, there's 243 verses with 1,923 matches. That's a lot of matches. But here's part of a problem. If you look at this verse down here, it says, of the Lord, of the name. And so it took name of the Lord, and it found all those words. But here's the great thing about the Bible software. If you go up here to this search criteria, and there's a box where it says search for all the words, click on it, and there's a drop-down menu. It says search for the exact phrase. Now click on that, and what pops up is that there are 106 verses with 107 references. And my computer's being slow. Let's just cancel this and try to do it again. All right, name of the Lord, we're going to search for the exact phrase. It was correct, it worked before. Oh, name the Lord, oh, thank you. That's why it worked the first time and it didn't work this time. Okay, now you see there's 107 matches, so that cuts down a lot of time. And you can look at every reference where the name of the Lord is found, and you can do a study on it. One other thing that's important, let's say you wanted to study about prayer, and type in the word pray and click on partial match, hit search, and what happens is the word pray, praise, prayer, praying, all those different variations that have the word pray in it will show up, and you can find there's 374 matches. And then you just scroll through them on the side here. You can read through them and find all the different verses. So that's how you use Esord. Now let's go to BibleHub.com, and on the screen, you want to scroll down to where it says Bible Study Tools, and in this box here, it says Concordance. So you click on Concordance, and you type in a word, let's say discouraged, We're discouraged right now, and I need some help. I want to get overcome my discouragement. Well, there's three occurrences for discouraged. Here we see there's two on the word discouraging and 19 on discouraged. We're going to take a look at the 19. It has the most resources. And it gives you Colossians 3:2, and it lists the verse, and it shows the word discouraged. And then there's a bunch of abbreviations in orange. And it says the WEB, and that stands for, up here if you see version, you can go down and you look alphabetically, and I go down to where the W's start, the WEB would be the World English Bible, but it tells you all the different translations that is used, the word discouraged. And then you can do a study on the word discouraged. So that's how you use a concordance. All right, let's go back. Let's take a look now at the next tool, and that is a Bible dictionary and encyclopedia. A dictionary and encyclopedia. And these are good because if you want to explore people, places, things, or concepts, that's where you use a Bible dictionary or encyclopedia. And I can tell you, I have up here four volumes of something called the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. About 30 years ago, I paid over $200 for this. It is free in eSword and BibleHub.com. You don't know how I wish this stuff would have been around. I have literally hundreds and thousands of dollars in my personal library. It's free at your fingertips. You don't know how lucky you are. You can study the Bible like your pastor now, because these are resources I use every week as I'm putting a message together. And so just to show you quickly in the Bible dictionary, going to look at eSword. And so I'm going down to the dictionary section, and I like to click on the ISBE. ISBE stands for International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. And let's say I want to learn about Jericho. So I type in Jericho, making sure I spelled it right. And I hit return, and up pops Jericho. And it's very tiny. It's hard to read here. But if you go to this second toolbar, you see a letter D on the handout. That letter D stands for the dictionary screen. The letter C is the commentary screen here. The letter B is the Bible screen. If I click on any one of those screens, like dictionary, now everything that was in that little window pops up and I can read it much more easily. And if you take a look, some of these headings right here, they have a circle with an I in it. That reference, Easton's Bible Dictionary, has information about Jericho. And I click on it and it pops up. I can click on Fawcett, and it pops up. If I go back to this screen right here next to the B, and it has three segments, it goes back to the original screen, and it also can show you those resources. So that's how you use a dictionary to research topics in eSword. Going to BibleHub.com, it comes to our main screen, and you scroll down to the word. You scroll down to the Bible tools, and you want to pick on encyclopedia. It's the second row, second one in, encyclopedia, and then you can type in a word. We're going to type in the word hope, and as you look at this, and just look at the fourth one down, it says hope. There's 291 occurrences. I click on hope, and it gives me what the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, the same resource eSword has, and it talks about it. And if you look where it says jump to, right underneath the word hope, it gives other resources in this section, and it'll jump to that section, and you can find what other resources say about it. So that's how you use the Bible dictionary. Okay, let's take a look at the next one, and that is a Bible atlas, okay? A Bible atlas, and an atlas is the maps and places of things in the Bible. A good one is Hammond's Atlas of the Bible Lands or Moody Bibles. For those of you, again, aren't in computers, those are some hard copy ones. We give you that there. But there are free Bible atlases both in eSword and in BibleHub.com. Let's take a look at BibleHub.com. I'll show you a quick how to use it. And you go to the main page. Again, scroll down to Bible Study Tools. The second one in says Atlas. Very easy. And under Atlas search, you would type in whatever it is. You want to study Jericho, want to study Canaan, you want to study some kind of place in the Bible, you type that in. On Esword, up here next to the box of letter E, right from the end, see this? Looks like a mountain and a little sun. And if you put your cursor on it, it says Graphics Viewer. And what pops up is maps. And I downloaded the map of Palestine in the time of Jesus. And I'm reading along in Acts chapter 1, and it says, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." Have you ever wondered why Jesus said those four areas and not anything else? Have you ever thought about that? You get out an atlas and you take a look, and Jerusalem is the capital city of Judea, and it's right here. I'm kind of just going around it. Judea is kind of the country that Jerusalem is in. And then up here is Samaria. Jesus grew up in Galilee and Nazareth, and you see Samaria, and then you go to the uttermost part of the world. And if you go to your Bible dictionary now and you research those things, you'll find something interesting. Samaria was a place that the Jews avoided like the plague. And the reason was, is because hundreds of years before the time of Jesus, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. 10 of the kingdoms were in the northern kingdom, and they went full force into idol worship, and they basically, God scattered them all over the place. Some of the people who left intermarried with Gentiles. So the Jews looked at those Gentiles as half-breeds. They looked at them, they regarded them as dogs. They didn't even see them as humans. And so Jews would not go to Samaria. And when you read about it, you may remember a place in the Bible where Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria." Jesus went to Samaria, the place of the half-breeds, and he ministered to them. And so now when he's saying, okay, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, you're to go out in the world and be my witnesses, he doesn't start out by saying, go in the world. He says, start in Jerusalem. Start where you're at. Start with the people closest around you. That's good news for us. I know some people, they want to save the world, but their neighbor down the street's going to hell, or the person they work with, they don't care about them because they're all about saving the world. God says, start with the people you're closest to. You know why? Because the people you're closest to, you have the greatest influence on them. He then said Judea. That's kind of an extended one. But then he says Samaria. And to the Jews that avoided the Samaritans, that was like, what do you mean the Samaritans? Jesus is saying the outsider, the people you don't respect, the lowest of the lows in society, you need to witness to them. Jesus is saying there is no one outside of the grace of God. There is no one unimportant. There is no one who is insignificant. Everyone matters. And then he says, go to the uttermost part of the world. Just don't get caught up where you're at, but you want to get involved in touching people around the world, and we do that through missions. And you see, when you get a Bible atlas, when you get a map, and you correspond with the dictionary, the encyclopedia, that can just take a verse and bring it alive and give you a lot of truth. Okay, let's move on to the next kind of resource, and that is you want to do word studies. Word studies, and we shared how there's a lot of words in the Hebrew and Greek and fewer words in the English. Did you realize there are four different words in the Greek for love? And yet we use the same word for, I love chocolate, I love you, Grandma, and I love you, baby. You know, we use the same word, but there's different meanings of the word love in the Greek language. There's seven different words for the word slave. Some means a paid servant. Some mean one that is a forced slave. One is a civil servant. One is a slave that paid off his debt, but he loves his master so much he wants to be a bond servant and be a slave for the rest of the life. And when you do word studies, you can find out what these different meanings mean. And so looking at Esword, I want to show you how do you do a word search. And by the way, we give you some hard copy resources there in your notes that you can look up how you can do word searches. But actually, let's go to BibleHub.com first. As we go to BibleHub, and we're not going to scroll down this time. to do a word search, we're going to stay on this light blue toolbar, and near the end, second from the end, it says lexicon. Click on lexicon, and then what's the verse you want to use? Let's say you want to do John. So you type in John, and you want to go to chapter 3. Then you click on chapter 3, and it takes you to John chapter 3. And if you notice, it has, what is the English word here? It shows the Greek word, a transliteration. And then it gives you the Strong's number. Remember the Strong's concordance? There is the Strong's number. And so you can click on that number, and it automatically takes you to what Strong says, and you can do a word search about it. And so that is a valuable tool. You can research every Greek and Hebrew word in the text by using Bible Hub. In eSword, what you want to do is go to the Bibles, and you want to download this version. It says KJV Plus, King James Plus. And what's neat, here in John 3, it gives the word and it gives a number. That number is this number in Strong's. You click on it, and now down below in dictionaries, click on where it says Strong. And the Greek word that you clicked on up here pops up down below, and you can research that and study that. And so that's how you can utilize that. You say, Craig, why is a word search so important? There is a verse in the Bible that says, in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of you have heard that verse before? That word confess, if you do a word study, you realize it says, when you look at the Strong's, it's made up of two words, homologio. Homo means same. Logio means to speak. So the word confess means to speak the same. When you confess your sin, what are you speaking the same as? You're speaking the same as what God is saying. God is saying, you're a sinner. Doesn't the Bible say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? None is righteous, no, not one. All of us are sinners. And this is what confessing is. You are saying the same thing as God. God, I agree with you. I'm not right with you. God, forgive me. And you see, when you realize that you have to agree with God, and there are some of you here today, you think, I'm living just fine. I don't have to change my way. I like my life the way it is. Here's the thing. Our life has to line up with God. All of us are sinners. None of us are good enough to get to heaven on our own. We need Jesus to forgive us of our sin. And unless you agree with God that you have sinned, you can't get into heaven. You won't be cleansed. Your sin won't be taken away, and you'll spend eternity in hell. And so word studies can expand and help. And here's the thing. Sometimes a word study is fruitful. Many times they're not. But you never know when you're going to find that nugget. Okay, the last thing we want to look at for tools is commentaries. Going back to eSword, you want to get a one commentary version of the Bible. And here's the thing. In eSword, you have all these commentaries on the right. I downloaded about 15 of them. And we're in John chapter 3. And I'm going to click on verse 3, where Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And every tab that has a circle with an I in it means there is a commentary that talks about it. So you can read here, like we've got about 10 different commentaries. You can read what 10 different people wrote about that verse. You want to see the next verse? Click on verse 4. You type in whatever Bible reference you want, and that will pop up. You go to the commentary section, and it will teach you what that person says. On BibleHub.com, how to use the commentary section on there, you're going to go to the master page, scroll down, and fourth on the top row is commentary. You click on it, and then it gives all, you can type in a verse. We want John chapter 3, verse 3. And when it pops up, then you can go down. I have a fast computer. Tell you, I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to show you something here. Down here, it says whole Bible commentaries, and a lot of those commentaries that were in Eastward, you've got 26 of them right here. And then, so that's how you use the commentary feature. So that, in a nutshell, is how you go ahead and use the different tools. Now, in just a few moments, I want to wrap things up and talk about another kind of preparation that's really important, and that's spiritual preparation. Because here's the thing. If you go into Bible study just seeing what you can learn from the tools, you're not going to learn a lot. Because God is more concerned about your heart than He is about your head. And so the first thing you need to do is prepare your heart with prayer. Prepare it with prayer. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." Say, "God, help me understand your word. Open it up. Open up your word to me." So pray. Number two, letter B there, start with a time of confession and ask God to clean out your life. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me." How many have ever tuned in to a radio station, and this is the old days, that had the dial, and it even happens sometimes now when you're traveling, but you click on something and it's the station's not quite clear. And you have to tune it in up or down a little bit on the dial. If you're not tuned in to the right frequency, you're not going to hear the message. And here's the thing, when we have sin in our life, it takes us off the frequency that God is on. So I need to start by saying, "God, search me. Is there anything in my life that's not right?" Because God wants to reveal Himself to you, give you a closer relationship, and only if my life is cleansed of sin can I get closer to God. So that's a third aspect of preparation. And then the third aspect, letter C, is make application your ultimate goal. Make application your ultimate goal. What did James say? Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers also. If you learn a lot, but it doesn't change your heart, it doesn't change your character, it doesn't change how you treat people, then you know what? You're a Pharisee. Because that's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees knew so much about the word of God, but they didn't live it. They didn't apply it. And God doesn't want us to be smart Christians. He wants us to be loving Christians, mature Christians, holy Christians. Now, I know today was kind of like a classroom. We're going to get very practical in the next few weeks, and we're going to help you do some really insightful studies, teach you how to go in and get something. But you need to know these tools, because if you don't know these tools, you won't know how to do the Bible studies that we're going to be talking about the next few weeks. So I want to encourage you to get familiar with these tools over the next few weeks so that God's Word can go deep in your life.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.